This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Good news in shoes.
Maranatha Assembly International, a church of worship, the word and healing.
Welcome to the Living Word Radio Broadcast. Brought to you by Maranatha International, a church of worship, the word, and healing. Join us for our Sunday services from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. For locations and to sow a seed into this radio ministry, visit our website at maranathainter.org or call 561-383-6574. 561-383-6574. Now stay tuned for today's message.
Maranatha Assembly International, a church of worship, the word and healing.
Well, good afternoon. This is Pastor David Yours from Maranatha. This is the church of worship, the word and healing. And I am so excited to be able to come before you this afternoon and be able to share through the teaching of the word. And I believe there's some practical teachings. We're actually in the middle of a series, Teach Me How to Pray. But before we get into the very middle of the teaching, I want to extend an invitation to you. You've been listening every Monday and you've been listening intently. And I believe you've been getting information that you're able to apply, and I've been watching you grow. This is a place, if you love God and you want to grow and you want to experience or have an encounter with God, I'm not talking about just going to church as usual, but have an encounter with God. This is a place where you can grow as a family. Some of the largest churches, you know, started in a home, and right now we're operating out of a home. The first two Sundays were in Loxahatchee, and the second two Sundays we're in Palm Beach Gardens. Let me tell you something. Our present situation does not predict our future condition. So just because we're in a home, doesn't understand that we're going to stay in a home. But I believe that we maximize the fact that we are in a home and we're here to worship and we give God our undivided attention. So I want you to call us. I want you to be able to communicate with us. Talk to us. Go on our website. Our website is Maranatha Inter, that's M-A-R-A-N-A-T-H-A, inter.org, and you'll get additional information about this ministry. And I believe that as you come into this ministry, you'll help us grow and grow together and to go forth the vision that God has placed in our hearts. Amen? Let us pray. Father, we thank you, we bless you, we thank you for your people that are listening so intently. We pray, Father God, for Your purpose and your perfect will, Lord God, to be done. We declare, Lord God, that your kingdom, Lord God, let it be established as we go through the word of God. And we have, Lord God, taught and teach, Lord God, how to pray. Father God, we pray, Father God, that in the mighty name of Jesus, that you, Lord God, will give the people, Lord God, Father God, the proper information, Lord God, that's needed. And we ask, Lord God, Father God, for your purpose, Lord God, to be done. We ask all these things in Jesus Christ, and we pray. Amen and amen. Now, as you know, we've been talking for the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about Teach Me How to Pray. And I believe that as you learn how to pray and how to pray effectively, then you begin to start seeing some results in your life. So today, what I'm going to do is that I'm going to teach. We have like 7 points or 7 steps to answered prayer. But before we get into those 7 steps, I might be able to touch on at least 2 today, depending on how the time is going. Then you'll be able to now adopt these information that you've been taught and incorporated into your prayer life and begin to start seeing some results in your prayer. I know sometimes you feel so frustrated because you've been praying for a son, you've been praying for that spouse, you've been praying for your marriage, the young person you've been praying to get a new job, to get a scholarship, to go to college, whatever that prayer request is, and you have not find anything or gotten any results as a result of your prayers. So it's important that you know how to pray. There are rules and how to approach God, and there's rules on how to come before Him, knowing that He is an awesome God. Now, some things that I want to kind of keep in mind when I'm teaching you about, you know, teach me how to pray. The first thing I want you to do is I want you to go to 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 12. That's 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 12. And I want you to listen intently here. It says, "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are attentive to their prayer." Let me read that again. "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous." So when you get down to pray, you might be in the bedroom, you might be in the bathroom, or might be in your car, you might have a closet area where you're praying. The eyes of the Lord are looking intently on you, and He's engaged in what you are about to say to Him. But also it says that His ears are attentive to their prayers, referring to the righteous, those that are in right standing, though the just. So we have to kind of keep that in mind, that when we are praying, that we're not alone. You know, we have a God. That's a mind-boggling type thing, where the fact that God will be interested in me, a mere man, that utter words, and that He would respond to those words on my behalf, and to also to see His will be done in the earth. Some things I want you to learn about a true prayer. First of all, a true prayer builds intimacy with God. If you find yourself that you're kind of drifting away from God, go back to prayer. It builds that intimacy. You remember last week we talked about intimacy? Into me, you see? Getting close, that close proximity with God. Not just coming to God just to ask God for these three things, these four things, but to build a relationship. So true prayer will build a relationship. It builds an intimacy with God. The second thing about a true prayer, it honors the nature and the character. It honors God's nature and character. Third thing, it respects His integrity. See, God's integrity is on the line, meaning that if you pray appropriately to God, God, it says that I'm a man that fulfills and brings to pass, and I'm a man of integrity, I'm a man of character. The fourth thing about true prayer, a true prayer believes His word. You know, when we're praying His word. We believe His word. Fifth, true prayer trusts in His love. Sixth, true prayer affirms His purpose and will. And seventh, true prayer appropriates His promises. So when we are praying, these are true prayers. There are seven things that that we have to be cognizant of: the fact that it builds intimacy, it honors His nature, His integrity, it believes His word, it trusts in His love, it affirms His purpose and His will, and appropriates His promises. Now, what is prayer? I was actually reading a book on prayer, and it talks about, it gave a very good definition of what prayer is and what it looks like. It speaks of synchronizing our human spirit with the divine spirit, meaning God. Prayer is also man giving legal right and permission to interfere in earth's affairs. Let me read that again. Prayer is a man giving God legal right and permission to interfere in earth's affair here on the earth, in your family, in your home, in your community. Why do you say that? Because in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26, we see Elohim, meaning God. It says that God says, "Let us create man in our image, in our likeness, and let them have dominion." In other words, He pointed to man and says, "Hey, you are to have authority here on the earth." Notice that God did not include Himself. He didn't say, "Let us have dominion on the earth," but He says, "Let them." That was very key, because what He did, He put the authority now in man's hands. and in order for God to now intervene or to come and to do anything in the earth, he has to go back through man who he puts in charge. You see how that works? So nothing will happen in the earth realm without the active permission of man who its legal authority. Let me say that one more time. Nothing will happen in the earth realm without the active or passive permission of man who is its legal authority. So God must obtain the agreement and cooperation of a person for whatever he desires to do in the earth, whatever he desires to do in your family, whatever he desires to do in your son, in your daughter, in your job, on your church, your job situation. We have to now invite God into that situation because he said, let them have dominion. And some of the scriptures that come to mind, the scripture says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then. So there's an if and a then. Before we hear from heaven, before we heal our land, there is a humbling, there is a calling, there is an asking before God intervenes. We see that same thing in Jeremiah 33 and 3. Are you catching it so far? Okay, good. In Jeremiah 33 and 3, it says, call unto me. So God says, now here, this is how it works. You call unto me, you initiate and you call unto me, then I will answer you and show you great and mighty things. So we see that God says that in order for me to interfere or to not interfere, but to intervene in the affairs of man, you have to now ask. And that's where prayer comes into place. It's our communion. It's our communication with God. So prayers were meant to be answered. Why do you say that, Pastor? Or he would not ask us to pray. What would it be of God to ask us to pray knowing in his heart that he wasn't going to answer it? That doesn't sound right, doesn't it? Doesn't sound like the consistency of the character and the nature of God. Now, some of the things that we have to keep in mind before we get into the seven steps in answered prayer, let's kind of review some of the things that we talked about in the past. First of all, our prayers have to be consistent and our prayers have to be persistent. When we look at, for instance, Luke chapter 18, verses 1, we see the Bible makes it very clear. It says, men always ought to pray and not to lose heart. Have you ever prayed and you don't see the results? Months went by, years went by, and you don't see the results. Then you kind of what? Lose heart. So the scripture says, men always ought to pray and not to lose heart. When you look at it, a different version, it says, pray continuously and not to be discouraged. Or in the Amplified version, it says, always to pray and not to turn coward, to faint, to lose heart, or to give up, or to throw in the towel. Now, in James chapter 1, verses 6, verses 7, so first of all, we see we have to be persistent in our prayer. The second thing we have to keep in mind is that our prayer must be in faith. Our prayer must be in faith. And when we look at scriptures like James chapter 1, it makes it very clear as James was speaking. Let's start with verse 5. It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, whatever you may be lacking, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and without criticism, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith without wavering, for he who wavers is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed with the wind. So he says, let not that man think that he will receive anything from, don't even think about it. Wow. Don't even think that your prayer is going to be answered if you're not praying in faith. So the second thing is that our prayer must be in faith, not wavering, not doubting. That word doubting comes from the word diakrino, which means to hesitate. It means to withdraw from. It means to oppose. It means to be partial. It means to oppose what I know you said this, God, but I have another opinion. You see how that works? Okay, good. So our prayers have to be persistent. Our prayers have to be in faith when we come before God. But also we have to understand, like for instance, it says in 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, it says, now this is the confidence that we have in him. In who? In God, in Yahweh, in Jehovah, that if we ask anything, and we would say, yeah, that sounds pretty good. If I ask anything, I know he's going to answer it. But we have to continue now. Anything according to his will. What is his will? His will is his word. So if we ask anything according to his will or his word or in line with his word, he hears us. Verse 15 says, now, if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. So you see how that works? So now that I kind of laid a foundation a little bit there, now we can spring now into what? The seven steps to answered prayer or to our answered prayer. Now, the first step, I want you to catch this now. You writing this down? Good, good. The first step is be specific and stand on God's promises. Let me say that one more time. Be specific. Be what? Be specific and stand on God's promises. If you're praying to God, be specific of what you're asking God. Write it down. You know, put a pen to the paper and says, God, this is what I am asking for. I'm asking for this item, and I'm very specific about it. Now, some things, some examples about someone that was very specific. It comes to mind, I look at the story of Hannah and Peniah. You remember Hannah and Peniah? Hannah was the one that was Elkanah's wife, but also Peniah was the sister of Hannah. We see in the story, as it was kind of, you know, going for in 1 Samuel chapter 1, that Peniah was the one that could actually have children, but Hannah is the one that the scripture says that her womb was closed. God shut up her womb. So as a result, we see Peniah now coming to Hannah and says, nah, you can't have children. And every single day, Peniah would come to Hannah and just, you know, vex her and just kind of remind her of the fact that she could not have children. I mean, I don't know about you, but from a woman's perspective, she probably would get very, very upset. So the story now picks up in 1 Samuel chapter 1, let's start at verse 5. It says, but Hannah, he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah. Speaking of Elkanah, although the Lord had closed her womb, verse 6, and her rival also provoked her severely. So Peniah was provoking Hannah to make her miserable because the Lord had closed up her womb. Verse 7. So it was year by year when she went up to the house of the Lord that she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. She could not eat no dinner. She didn't eat no breakfast. She was just really upset. Verse 8. And Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you eat? Why are you not eating? Why is your heart so grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? So Elkanah was trying to encourage her. Verse 9. So Hannah arose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli, the priest, was sitting on a seat by the doorstep or the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. And she was in bitterness. Man, Hannah looks like she lost it. Bitterness of soul. And she did what? She prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Now, catch this now in verse 11. How specific she was in her prayer. First of all, she said, then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, If you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child. Very specific. She wanted a son, not a daughter, but she wanted a son. And I will give him to you. Very specific what he's going to do when she gets the male son. I'm going to give it and dedicate it back to you, Lord, all the days of his life. No razor shall come upon his head, and I will give him back to you. So we see here that she was very specific. So the first thing in our steps to answered prayer is that we have to be specific, but also stand on God's promises. Decide what we want from God, and now find the scriptures that correspond with the promises with what you are making that request about. So for instance, you're praying for a son, you're praying for a daughter. Go through the scriptures and find scriptures that come in alignment with what you are praying for. And as you find them, then I'm going to kind of tell you what to do next. Is that okay? Okay. But first of all, I want you to look at James chapter 4, verses 3. And the Bible kind of gives us some ideas of why our prayers are not being answered. So now we look at James chapter 4, verses 3. James chapter 4, verses 3. It says that you ask and you do not receive. Sound familiar? Yeah, we've been asking and we haven't been receiving. Because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your own passions. So he says that you ask, yes, we do ask, and you do not receive. We weren't expecting that. Because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your own passions. So when you see the word amiss, it comes from the word kakos, K-A-K-O-S. It means badly. It means worthless. It means that you ask with the wrong motives. Whoa. You ask with the wrong motives, that you may consume it on your own pleasures. That's the reason why you did not receive that. Okay? So now let's go back to point one now. Be what? Specific. Write it down. Stand on God's promises. If the scriptures does not promise you it, why make sense praying about it? Find in the scriptures, and after you found the scriptures, you've written down the scriptures. For instance, you're praying for your mom. Your mom is sick, and you says, I'm going to find scriptures that talk about the promises concerning healing. By your stripes, I am healed. Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. After you find those, then you spend time with those scriptures until it is fixed firmly in your heart. Fixed firmly in your human spirit. You spend time meditating on those scriptures. Not just committing to memory, but you get to a point where you go over those scriptures to the point where it gets into your heart. You remember that scripture when it says, if a man will confess with his mouth and believe in where? Yes, the heart. So the believing comes in the heart. So you have to go through this time where you're now meditating on those scriptures. Now, so we find the scriptures because we're talking about the first point here. Be specific, stand on God's promises. So we find the scriptures, we spend time in the scriptures, and we allow it to now sink into our heart. Joshua chapter 1, verses 8, we see where God was telling Joshua, it says, this book of the law, you will meditate in it day and night, you will observe to do all that is written, and then you will have good success. So when we look at the word meditate, because now we've found the scriptures and now we have to meditate, the word meditate comes from the word haga, which means to murmur in pleasure. Not to murmur as far as negative. You remember in the Old Testament when the people, when they were led by Moses, they got him into the desert and they begin to start murmuring. Well, I don't know why does Moses bring me out of this place. I don't know why I should be better off in Egypt. You know, just keep on going and keep on negative. But this is now murmuring in pleasure. It means to ponder. It means to imagine. It means to mourn. It means to mutter. It means to roar. It means to study. It also means to talk. So we have to now take the scripture and now meditate in the scripture. Go over it until it becomes part of our very being. You remember the scripture in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 12? I believe it was Paul when he was saying we should fight the good fight of faith. Believe you me, our fight is the fight of faith. Like, for instance, so you got your list now and you begin to start meditating. Now the enemy now comes immediately for that word and says, man, I know you've been praying for your son. You've been looking at all these scriptures. I mean, is it really going to come to pass? Look how long you've been doing. And now you have to now make a concerted effort and say, no, I still believe that God is going to heal me. I still believe that God is going to deliver my son. I still believe that my marriage will turn. All right? There is a fight that goes forth. That word fight, it comes from the word agonizima, which means to struggle. It means to compete for a prize or to contend with an adversary. So this is very important. I knew I wasn't going to get a chance to get into the second point, but I just, at least we got through the first one. And I believe that as we go through the first one, I want you to now, I'm going to give you some homework here. Go home. Write down what you're specifically, what you're going to be praying for. Get the scriptures that goes with what you are praying for, because God honors his word. Meditate, think about it, study it, go over it again, imagine it. All right. In other words, meditate on the scripture, lay hold to it. All right. And as you do that, that is the first step to your answered prayer. Now, again, I want to invite you out. We're excited because we're actually going through a series called The Blessing. And we've been talking about the blessing of Abraham. And how it applies to your life, how it applies to the people around you. And you definitely don't want to miss it. So come out this Sunday, 10 o'clock. Also call us at 561-383-6574. And I want you to be a part of something big. All right? May God bless you. Blessings upon you is my prayer. Thank you now.
Maranatha Assembly International. A church of worship, the word and healing.
Welcome to the Living Word Radio Broadcast, brought to you by Maranatha International, a church of worship, the word and healing. Join us for our Sunday services from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. For locations and to sow a seed into this radio ministry, visit our website at maranathainter.org or call 561-383-6574, 561-383-6574.
Maranatha Assembly International, a church of worship, the word.
There's more than one way to support the WCNO ministry. Prayerfully and financially are only the two most obvious. But did you realize how important it is for you to let the programmers and corporate underwriters know that you heard about them right here at WCNO Radio? That's right. Always mention the call letters WCNO when you write, call, or visit the ministries or supporters of WCNO. That's WCNO.